Hello, everybody. Welcome to Sex Jan. I'm so happy to be here today. And I have a friend with me, Yoslyn. Do you want to say hi?
I'm ready. I'm like so ready.
You psyched? So y'all, I have the funniest story about how we actually met. She sees me topless all the time. No, I'm just kidding. Technically, yeah. I started doing massages, and she is my individual who works my muscles out to a crazy extent and causes me tons of pain, but also like tons of just, I've been so happy since I started seeing you. I brag about you to everybody.
Well, thank you. That means a lot. Thank you.
I do. And everybody who has seen you also says that you're really good. So that's awesome. That's great to have affirmations back.
What is it? Is it about to be a year since I've, because I think it was like at the start of the pandemic, right? Like sort of like right when we got back to work, I feel like
It was whenever we first got to come in, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be so scary. And then you were awesome and had only had one run in where, you know, with another person that you had to
get.
Whoa. Stand up for me. So that was good. And I've loved you ever since.
Wow. I can't believe it's been that long. That's crazy.
I know. Well, yeah. And I'm pretty like I will not even like float to another one at all. Like my wife will ask me, she'll be like, "Would I want to go in here? Do you?" And I'm like, is Yoslyn working? Because if she's not, no, I'm out.
I love the loyalty.
I have to say also for all of y'all that are on doing the podcast, I'll be putting this on my YouTube also. But Yoslyn always has her hair back and she always has a mask on. And so it's like so neat that we get to see each other as like faces and everything.
No, I've never seen your face. Like I've only seen your eyes.
My eyes and my body. Which is a little weird. But Yoslyn's actually, I've had a lot of people ask me about my tattoos. And I guess you're probably one of the very few people that's actually like seeing, you know, my whole back.
Yeah. I love it.
Thank you. I'm adding on. I'm doing a swirl of those, of a butterfly, you know, created kind of thing. And I'm super excited about it because I feel like it's connecting, you know, that bottom half to the top half of joy. And it's just, I think I'm super pumped about it. So.
You think you'll be done then, or do you want more?
God, my wife hopes so. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. You get pretty addicted to them. And
that's what it is. Yeah.
So like, I want to say that I'm going to be done, but then am I? I don't know. Because the story just continues, you know, and like life, right, as it continues, you just start to add on pieces of this story. And I'm not an artist. I don't create like that, but I love to see pieces of the story, you know, around me and stuff. So I think that's pretty cool. And that's what I consider my tattoos. My son loves tattoos too. Do you have any tattoos? Do you mind if I ask?
No, I wish. See, I feel like I would get one. And then I'll wake up and be like, no, it's not straight enough. Or I'm too complicated. Like, I need it to be perfect. Like, I need, you know what I mean? Like, I just can't. But I want one, at least. Like, I feel like before I die, I need to, like, get something, you know?
You know what? And that's kind of what we're here today. We're just talking about all kinds of stuff. Whenever y'all do look at the YouTube, you'll be able to see like my home office is like just a mosh podge of my brain. And
it's like one TV.
You know what? It's exactly like you described it to me. Legit. Like it is. So anyway.
I think I have one painting in my entire apartment.
Okay, you got me intrigued now. What is it of?
It's just like a landscape of New York City. It's just that. But it's like everybody has that, you know? I don't know. I need somebody to decorate for me because I won't do it.
Okay, but if somebody decorates for you and they, like, say, for instance, they put a whole bunch of stuff up and it's not straight.
Oh, we can't have that. Like, it needs like, oh, no. to be straight. Like, it needs to be straight.
You're like, hell no, not in my house.
No, I just don't like clutter. I just can't. No. I wish, you know.
Yeah. Everybody, yeah, but why? Why have clutter if you don't like it?
Right.
Mine's like my brain. Like, this legit is how my brain works. My office at work, and not here, is now it's got the setup, you know, like a living room, and I try to keep it, you know, neat, and it stays pretty organized. So that one, I usually record there actually, and that one is a little bit nicer put together and stuff. But I just moved I like my dogs, and
oh, I thought that was a pillow.
Okay, the gray thing is a pillow. Can you see that?
No, I thought another
pillow. That's the smallest one. You remember how I told you that we have three? Okay, that's the little one, and she's the alpha. She's 10 pounds and she's like, anyway, so kind of, okay. So, and now to one of the reasons why Yasmin and I decided to do this is because whenever I do my massages, we have so much fun, like legit while she's working and I'm like dying, except for whenever I have to take small breaths of like, because it's hurting. Like, yeah. We chitter chatter the whole time, and mostly we talk about sex.
Lots and lots of sex.
Lots and lots of sex. We've had some fun conversations during the
summer. Yeah, because how many chances or in life am I going to meet a sex therapist? When you were like, I'm a therapist, and then we kept talking, you're like, well, I'm also like a sex therapist, and I was like, I'm intrigued. Like, I need to just talk to you. That's so fascinating to me.
It's a fun job.
Yeah.
It's fun. Like, I order toys for the office, and I order things for the office. And I used to, my wife used to open up stuff, and my wife is a totally different personality than I am. And you know her, because she's... Yes. You work on her. And yeah. And so my life is totally different. And I'll never forget, my favorite one was whenever she opens up the bags, you know, from Amazon, because we always open up everything. And she looks in and she's like, oh, tea bags. And she takes out the whole thing. And it's like a fishbowl of condoms. All different kind of condoms. Things you would not think would come to a lesbian home. But... things of condoms. And so she's like going, oh, that's it, Melinda, I'm never opening up a bag again. And she has not, from that day, if it has my name on it, she will not open it up.
So wait, just like display them at your job? What do you do? You just display your office?
Actually, you know what we did, because we have, so in our, you'll have to come up to the office and see it. It's a pretty neat office, but so we have different rooms in the office, and I would not have a problem with putting them right out front, but I usually keep them in my personal office. And we got me a new cabinet, because I have the different toys and stuff in there, and I have different models, you know, different vulvas and clitoris and stuff like that. And so I have different things that I kind of put away, and so that whenever Karen has kids, you know, because she's a child therapist. I mean, she works with the kiddos. And whenever she's got them in there, it's okay, you know, so we're not sending out any information that, you know, we don't want sent out. So I do have it in there. But the reason why I got that fish full of condoms is because sometimes I have people who've been married for years and like they just don't ever even try a different way, you know? And so sometimes it's just by adding on a condom that has texture, it makes it to where it kind of adds a little spice and a different feel to it. And that can be really good and bring out. And then some people are just now becoming sexually active. And so they come in to talk about how to be healthy and how to make good choices and how do they even look for condoms. And so if they, you know, if they look at some of them, then that way they can see them. And so I try to keep samples in of everything, also different lubricants, water-based, you know, is great for your body, and make sure that people are taking care of themselves because it's important.
Right. I actually have a confession. Because we're talking about condoms.
Well, remember, it's recorded. No, I'm just kidding.
No, it's funny because I don't think I know a lot about condoms. And I say this because, okay, when I'm not in a relationship, like I do stay protected and, you know, I use condoms and I'm safe. When I'm in a committed relationship, and I've been more in a committed relationship than I have not, with partners, I feel like I'll start with condoms and then it, you know, goes away eventually. And I feel like I've had more sex without a condom because I've been in more relationships. How do you feel about that?
If you are in, so this is, and also my polycules and stuff, polyamory, you know, groups and stuff, it's kind of the same thing. Everybody just has to be safe. And so if you know you and your partner are in a committed relationship and it's monogamous, and y'all have decided that, right? Then you know that if you get tested at the beginning, get those test results back and share them. People are so apprehensive to ask for the test results, you know? And it's like, no, that's saying, hey, I love you. Let's get it on in a healthy way, you know? And so I think that that's important to start off like that. And then as you kind of move forward in a relationship, you can have fun with condoms if there's different textures or different, you know, lubricants.
What do you mean the different textures?
Oh, some of them have different ribbing on them. And oh my gosh. Yeah. They make some fun ones now, some really fun ones. And so you also have they have rings, beaded rings.
Uh-huh.
Go on the shaft. And so,
and it's still a condom? Like it's still,
no, that one's not a condom. Uh-oh. That's just a fun toy that I just decided to throw in there.
Yeah. When I learned about condoms, or what I know mostly about them is, and I feel like it's guys that mostly tell me, or like condoms are uncomfortable, or like it's never about like, oh, they have different textures and you can do this and that. No, that's like what I've heard mostly, you know?
Well, most of the time, guys usually don't put them on correctly. And so if they have to leave room at the tip, you know, so that as they become more and more excited and they, you know, expand, that they have room for the head of the penis, and they don't usually. And so it makes it like where it is kind of uncomfortable because it's hitting up against something and tight. So it's better that they understand how to put the condom on correctly. And also, it's not uncomfortable if it's safe for you. And right. And that's what's important. It's interesting. They need to decide what brand fits them nicely and feels comfortable. And then they also need to ask, I wonder if I'm putting this on correctly. And if they do that, then they come to the table, you know, saying, I'm willing to, you know, take care of myself and take care of you. And that's a great combination for safe sex. And polyamorous groups are, sorry, I used to say polycule, but I don't know if anybody knows what that means. And so it's like a little family. And they have different metamors and it kind of goes out like this. So anyway.
But is it three or more?
It can be more.
Okay.
So a polycule can be like two or three that maybe even nest together. And then maybe you have some metamors that are connected, or some individuals that are connected outside of that.
Okay.
And then they all have like this relationship where they talk and they interact, maybe just so that everybody feels comfortable and safe. And that's okay. Like it is amazing. And some of the fetishes and some of, and that's not a fetish, but some of the fetishes or some of the preferences that people have, how much more communication they do than just heteronormative sex. And it's like, we're so trained not to talk before sex. And actually, whenever you have to work together, you know, and to love and respect everybody kind of as a whole, you learn to communicate what you need and what you don't need. And so.
So do they, is it typically like when they have sex, is it mostly like threesomes or no? Will the guy have sex with, like, if it's a two girls and one guy?
It depends. So sometimes you might have someone and they only prefer to have sex with this person. So, and this is what's so funny about this is that it's so not about just the sex. It's so interesting. So most of the time, like you may have a partner of one of the primary, it depends also, there's like, we can get into this. It's like, it'd be a whole section just on this polyamory, because yeah. I want to be respectful of all the terms, but it's kind of hard to kind of go in and just pick them out. So like there's kind of an umbrella, and then there's all these different types of polyamory that go underneath this umbrella. And so some people have like a hierarchy where maybe it's two people who have decided that they're going to nest together. And sometimes that can be two people who are both polyamorous, or you might have one that's monogamous that's okay with the other person being polyamorous because they can respect that, but they don't share or identify with that. And so this person may have another partner, and that's something that they talk and work through, or they might both have other partners. Like some of my my individuals, they or my couples, they decide, okay, this is going to be a date night. So we're both going to go out with our others and go on our dates. And then, you know, they kind of put parameters, and this is what I help clients do a lot with. We put parameters around like, okay, so the finances for this one, for this nesting group, it has to stay safe. And so like, you know, setting boundaries on what it looks like and, you know, where the kids are, you know, taken care of and what, and how much they're going to see or hear. If they're raised in it, you know, it might be more familiar and the terms might be more familiar, but if they are brought into it kind of later in life, sometimes they can really struggle with it. So it just depends, but it's interesting because it's so like, yes, they do have sex. And sometimes they have some great sex, and sometimes there's three, and sometimes there's more. But then sometimes they've decided that there's just two. Or like, for instance, in that monogamous polyamorous, Dr. Sheff is awesome. Elizabeth Sheff, she's one of my podcasts, but she has been researching polyamorous families for decades, like literally decades. And so some of her books are great because she helps people process, like, how do we take care of families? How do we take care of ourselves and those kind of things? But so it just depends. And, you know, and then you have like this whole other, you know, these whole other groups where they don't believe in hierarchy. And so some polyamorous people believe in like they are individuals and then, you know, they date who they want to, as long as everybody, and this is what is so crazy to me, they respect the body, healthy ones. Respect the body, and whoever they're having sex with, like it is legitimately okay to want to know when your last testing was, you know, what that looks like. And because they may bring it to three other partners, and that's not cool.
That's what cool. Is between that and like open relationships, or is that kind of the thing?
Okay. So if you have an open, okay. So, and that's what I was saying, like, that's another term and that's another type of, you know, relationship, because this polyamory is, there's so much beauty in it. And the more that I've learned about it, I happen to be monogamous because I know in my essence, that is who I am. And I found that through my own journey, which was messy. And so, but I know these humans and how they sort and process, like this is how everything gets taken care of. And it's, just a beautiful experience to watch whenever they can figure it out. And everybody's happy for everybody to be in these other relationships and supportive. And they see the energy of new relationship energy is a real thing. And that comes back in. And so sometimes the open relationships, to go back to what you were talking about, to asking about, yes, that's kind of where you have two people and they are open to other partners. And it's not quite as set, like as in, you know, this is what we talk about, or this is the baseline is safety and respect. And so it's more of an open situation. Like we don't have to know other individuals and stuff like that. And they don't come to the table.
I feel like that's what most people call dating, right? Open, because you can just like do whatever you want.
Well, okay. So the difference with that is that maybe two individuals are committed to continuing their relationship.
Okay.
And so like maybe they know that they have an open relationship. And that's one reason why to me it does get a little bit confusing sometimes. And I have great information that I research all the time, because, you know, I want to make sure that I bring the best to my clients and I'm not, you know, misleading or anything. But I do think that comes to the, no, we're committed. We're just very comfortable with the other person just kind of making choices, you know, for themselves. And we don't have like these guidelines or anything.
Oh, that's interesting.
And there's all different types. And then I mean, it's so fun because, like, you know, we were so condemned to even want to have sex whenever it was my age. And so you ended up having sex, and it was more like a, tiptoe to the back room kind of thing. And so it was so unhealthy, you know, whenever now I think that the more we talk about, which is one of the reasons why I started this podcast, is because I'm like, let's just talk about it.
Yeah.
Right, wrong, your opinion, my opinion. Hell, I'll go back and correct something. If I am wrong, you know me, I'm dyslexic and ADHD. So I get things twisted around. So I'm always comfortable with people asking questions and talking. And so have you ever considered or been in an open relationship?
I've never been in an open relationship. No, I feel like I couldn't do it. And because, okay. And I'm like conflicting thoughts about it, because I feel like I've never have had like a hoe face. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know what you mean. Oh my God. Yeah, you're awesome.
I have friends, like, which is completely fine. I'm like, yes, like, go do it. And like, they'll talk about it, and they're able, you know, have healthy, like, just go have hookup sex and stuff. And I've never been able to do that. And I'm like recently I've been thinking about it. I'm like, should I be doing that? Like right now that I'm in my 20s, like, should I get this like out the way? Like, will I be happy?
Well, I mean, do you want to?
I don't. See, I'm stuck. Like some days I'll be like, I just need to like hit up people I think that are hot and maybe like go have nights and stuff. And then I'm like, no.
Oh my God.
I can't do that. You're going to regret it. So I don't know. I don't know if I should. Do you think like people should have that? Do you think people should, you know, have a lot of sex, I guess, and not be monogamous?
You got to read Ethical Slut. Got to download that. Did I already tell you about this book?
I don't think so.
I don't think so, but I don't have a copy with me. Ethical Slut. It's so awesome and you'll love it. Do I think, so my opinions on, do I think you should have a hoe period? One, I don't know. I guess I view it differently. Like to me, I think that if you're having fun sex and you want to have different partners and you want to play and you want to figure out what you like and what you don't like, and as long as you're having safe sex, to me, that's fun sex. And so I don't see that that's a problem. Now we get into the nitty gritty of like the, do you morally have a problem with having sex with multiple partners?
I think it's the emotional part where I feel like I'm missing that. And that makes it more attractive to me, because I will tell you, okay, so a few years back, I was talking to this guy and he was so hot, like athletic, like you were just like, okay, you know, he was so hot. And I was like, maybe, you know, just like maybe, but we were just talking and, you know, we hooked up and stuff. And I will tell you, it was probably one of like the worst sex experiences. It was like, it was just bad. And it was like safe sex and everything. And it was just bad.
Did you feel like you were able to talk? I mean, like tell him,
no,
I like this, or this is the pressure that I like, or.
No. And you know what it is? I think that I thought he was so hot that I had put this like really high expectations of how it was going to be. And then when it happened, I was like, no, it was like happening. I was like, wait, no, like, no, there was like no foreplay or anything. It was just like straight to it. And I was like, and I feel like that's how he like functions. Like, I don't think I think he's one of those people, because he knows that he's hot, he maybe like just pushes on that. But I'll tell you, like, looks don't matter. They do not matter anymore. Man.
Well, okay. So a couple different things. First of all, our bodies do not jumpstart without foreplay. And so, I'll say most women's bodies do not, you know, and it does take like sometimes 20 to 30 to 40 minutes, you know, to jumpstart the waterfall. And I think that's not a bad thing, because it also is whenever you get the connection, you know, with your partner. And and that's part of what women really love and enjoy. And a lot of men love and enjoy that too. So it, that part could make it bad sex, right? Because he was in it for him.
Right.
You know, like, I don't have to put any energy into you. I mean, did he ask you at any point, what do you enjoy? Do you like this or do you like that?
No, that's what it was too. Yeah. I think he was just like ready to get like, you know, himself off. That just didn't matter to me. Yeah. And like, yeah, I'm at fault too, because I probably should have said something. I probably should have been like, you know, this is what I like and stuff, but I didn't. And I think that I do that sometimes too, because I did that in a relationship. And I didn't really, you know, I didn't really say what I like and what I didn't like, or it wasn't okay and this and that, but I've learned, okay, we're not doing that. No.
Good. I'm so excited, because if you don't have a voice about what you want, well, first of all, they can't read minds, right? So if you're in a committed relationship, because those are two totally different things. So if you're in a committed relationship with someone, they should be asking what you want, or, hey, I noticed that your body and you are not really responding to this, because sometimes your body can respond to something, but you're not comfortable with it. Right.
Right.
And that's okay for them to say, hey, I noticed that, like, you don't seem, even though your body seems to be responding, like, you don't seem, should I stop? Should I go? Like, what's up with that? But if they don't, like, that's something that they should do. And then the other one, you can have really good one night stands. You can have really good fun dates. You can have really good interactions that don't have to be like, you know, them for forever. But, you know, that you at least can voice. And so sometimes people, you know, with the apps and stuff, that life and stuff like that, they'll meet up with people and then, or talk with them, and then they'll make sure that their energies are congruent and kind of what their wants and needs are in it. And then they meet up and they have a much better experience, you know, and it's consistent. And then they also have a voice to say, wait a minute, this isn't exactly what I had planned. Like, you know, and they feel like they have a right to also stop, you know, and that's something that's important too. And whenever you just meet someone and it's kind of like this sometimes there's drinking involved and you're like, ah, forget it. You know what? It's not even worth the fight because I'm already drinking. We're going to go to sleep in 5 minutes whenever he's done and it's no big deal, you know?
Right. Yeah.
But then we're left with kind of those emotional scars of not saying something. So.
Yeah. Cause I, after that, and it only happened once, and I was just like, I didn't feel satisfied and I felt kind of like dirty. I was like, mostly like almost kind of been like, did I really like waste this body? You know, like your body count. I was like, did I really waste? I was like, God. So I was like, does it count?
Does that one got a count or can I just take that one off? Yeah, I get it. Been there, done that. I know. I'd really like to not count that one. Is that the thing?
Wait, do you keep count? Is that like normal thing? Like, do people keep count of how many people they sleep with?
I think people do. I really do think people do. I think that people, you know, yeah, because I think that it's a pretty common thing for people to say, well, how many people have you been with?
Right.
I mean, I've been long since out of the game of that. But whenever I was younger, yeah, like it also, there was shame associated with it, you know, if it wasn't, yeah. And there was tons of stuff because then, like, I love, like, I think that it's fun to connect with someone. And also figuring out sexuality, you know, you weren't allowed to talk about the fact that sex didn't work for you with a man, but how the hell did you figure it out if you didn't know what else to do? So,
right.
I made tons of poor choices on how to do that. I did make tons of poor choices with that. But to say that, I think that people kind of keep that log, and some people do it out of shame. Some people do it out of excitement. Some people do it out of fear, you know, or you know, people have lots of different things that they associate with it. And you know, I personally love being in a monogamous relationship. I love being, you know, my wife and I have a great rapport with each other. Younger days though, I feel like that was something that was done. Do you keep a count?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. And see, it's like, it's on the short, on the shorter side. So that's okay. In my head, I'm like, that's why, should I be getting more experience? I'm like, should I be doing this for research purposes?
What if you had, okay, what if you found a partner, like you looked specifically and found a partner who loved to play and they could do all kinds of different play with you. And then you only had one body count, unless y'all decided to open that up and try something else. But then maybe they did ropes and they did.
I'm really excited about this, like ropes, because you mentioned, oh. And I was like, what is this? You have to like, tell me about it.
So, we have some really good locations here in Dallas. I also know of some in Austin. And so basically you have people who are like riggers and they are the ones that do the tying of a person, right? And there's different positions and you go to classes. Like people think, oh, it's just like you just tie somebody up and it's all, I mean, you can if that's what you wanted.
Are you fully naked? Like when they're tying you up?
Yes, some people do.
Okay.
I'm going to say most of the time, yes, but I don't know that you have to be. I'm not a rigger or someone who does rope play. So, you know, my experience is much minimal, but I think we should get somebody on here who does rope play that they can answer more specific questions.
Oh my God.
I know from like a clinical and like working with clients and research that I've done and, you know, going and seeing some, but not enough that, I would know, like, this is how everybody does it. But it is very stimulating for people who do it. They love it. And so you have a rigger and then you have someone who is, being tied. And so they get to have, you have safety words, you talk about everything, you talk, you know, before. The rigger is someone who learns how to do time to be safe. And there's tons of communication. Like, it's crazy how much communication is in some of the specialties that people have.
Do guys get tied up as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anybody can be tied up.
Oh, I feel like, is it like an equal thing, or do women like it better? Or is it more like equal? Do guys still like him?
Hmm.
I feel like women would like it more.
That's a good survey question, because I don't know that I have enough like this over. I've heard this and I've heard that. I've heard both sides. Yeah, but I don't know that I would have enough experience to say mostly males like it or mostly females like it. That's a very good question. That's something else. Okay, so now you and I are going to have rigor on this. And one time, or somebody who knows about it. You know what they also have that is so interesting to me, and I would love to have. They actually have people who teach DOMs and subs and BDS. Yeah. Yes, and I'm like, please. Like, I have, you know, I mean, I think that's wonderful that they actually teach. Like, this is how to be a healthy DOM. This is how to be a healthy sub, and like, this is how you have a voice. This is how you take care of your sub. Like, it's awesome. And people, it's interesting because people who are just in the outside world who don't even have conversations with their spouse about anything, they haven't talked in like 5 years except for, you know, like casual conversations. And they say, oh, this is atrocious. And then you have some of these warm environments where somebody's like, oh my God, I'm really stimulated and I love this and I feel so safe or secure, you know? And they're getting to enjoy their partner and their relationship and that moment and that stimulation. And there's no shame or guilt that's associated with it. There's just fun play, you know, and it's a whole different experience, whole different experience. I'm sorry. I think I went somewhere else.
No, but like, so would you call these, would these be more like sex clubs? Is that what it is? That's where you do them? Is that what you call? Like,
there's some places, dungeons. We have like different places here in Dallas, and I have a list of them that I keep up, and I have awesome people who let me know whenever things have closed or something's moved, you know, so that if clients are looking for somewhere, then that way I can send them to safe places. Because, you know, you always want to know. We were in Colorado, Denver, and with a group of sex therapists, you know, with the conference. And so we were going to go to a dungeon, and I don't know what happened. We ended up at a leather show, and so, which was fun itself too, but I'm gay, so I've seen, you know, lots of that, you know, and I'm like, eh. No, I'm just kidding. It was super cute, but I was kind of excited about getting to go with other individuals to a dungeon. And because sometimes they have certain requirements at different places. And because I totally would always want to respect, you know, anybody and everybody there. I would never want to invade anyone's secure space and bring in like, oh, can I come in to your dungeon and just be here? I don't know if I want to experience anything. So it's kind of hard. So I was a little bit disappointed because I really wanted to go to that with people, you know, who were safe and that I knew, you know, like they would know how to teach me how to be respectful in that environment. Does that make sense?
Wait, so what would you do? What do you mean? You can't just be like walking around there, because I feel like I would be like that dumb girl who would be like, that looks so fascinating, but be like kind of creepy. Like, I'm just staring at what they're doing.
Because I do that. That's why I wanted to go with the group, because I would be like, yay, express yourself. Go get it. You know? And then they would be like, hey, creepy person, stop. And you can't, I don't think that that's okay for me to go and do that. And so I wanted to go with a group, because if I would like to actually go to one here in Dallas, but I want to understand what's respectful, what's not respectful. You know, it's not my culture. And so I would never want, but I totally am all about like being respectful to someone's environment. So it's just kind of the same thing. And that's, you know, one of the reasons why I invited you on here, because I thought, oh my God, we talked and we had so much fun. So this could be like a great little adventure, you know.
Yeah.
I ask my nieces to hop on sometimes and they've been fun. But my nieces can't talk to me about anything with sex because my brother listens, and that's not cool. And it's creepy to have your aunt ask you questions. So I don't.
How old are they?
All different ages. And so some of them are old enough, but my brother pretty much raised me too. And so both my parents are gone. So like I legit, you know, respect his everything. I respect him not wanting me to talk about that. He goes, you have a podcast about sex. But it's not just about sex. I've done a lot of conversations that are about cultivating just healthy intimacy across the board and therapeutic perspective so that people can know that they can go in and have a safe space to talk to somebody. Like that's what that whole first section was for, to let people know like, hey, it doesn't matter your fears and anxieties about who you are. Like there's somebody safe out there that you can talk to. And that's kind of was like a big, like how I wanted to set the stage before I moved into different things. I did get to do a beautiful interview of an older lesbian that actually marched way back when, and for rights, just for women and gay and like everything. And so it was neat to get to hear like coming from that Catholic, you know, up, you know, conversation. And she was so sweet to share. And I tried to keep it, you know, on the down low as much as possible. But exploration is like my next, you know, like I want to have some people on here and just have some fun talking about sex. Like that's kind of what it is.
And I feel like a lot of people need this because, or even like women, because I even have some friends there's some friends that I can talk to about sex. And I'm like, why? Like, I want to know, like, do you do this? Like, what sex story did you get today? Like, and I feel like some of my girlfriends that they don't know how to like masturbate and stuff. And I'm like, and it took me like being single and like exploring my own sexuality and my, you know, my hand to be like, this is what I like learning, you know? So I'm glad you're doing this.
No, I am. I am too. And I think that like some of the questions that you've come up with whenever we've been talking, I'm like, wow, I really need to explore that on the podcast because like other people have that. And people, it goes back to that. Women and having a voice is very difficult in the workforce, in relationships, and everything. And so in the bedroom, why would it be any different? Mm. Why would it be natural for women to say what they want? And so that's why learning how to have a voice is important. And also masturbation is like something that people, you know, you're not supposed to talk about that. And it's like, okay, well then how do you prevent somebody having sex with like 15 different people because they won't masturbate, but yet you've taught them that, you know, penetration, vaginal penetration is the only way, you know, that they can have sex. And of course, you know, they're one going to explore. And so I think that it's really healthy and also teaches you what you like.
So do you think when some girls are like, oh, I don't like masturbating, do you think like they don't like it or they don't know how to do it? That's why they don't like it.
I think that for a lot of people, it's shame-based.
Okay.
So you're not supposed to enjoy your body. Your body is being, you know, prepared for a partner, you know, or your body is for theirs, you know, and so it's okay if you do it with them, but you're not supposed to do it just yourself. Or like, what do you think about and how long do you push? You know, if it's clitoral stimulation, if it's, you know, penetration, if you use a vibrator, if you use, I got this one that looks kind of like a snail because I know, right? And it's like there's a suction kind of massage on the clitoris. It's not my personal one. I'm talking about like for the company. And it's so funny. Like whenever I looked at it, I was like, is that going to be comfortable? So now I got to buy another one so that I, you know, I can figure out if it's a good one or not. But it's so funny, right? Like the stuff that happens. So that, there you go. That's part of my job and requirements. And so now I got to buy a whole nother one. But I don't want people to buy things that are expensive, that aren't good and don't serve a purpose, you know?
Wait, so do you like buy them and like test it out yourselves, or do you have like friends?
Sometimes, if I haven't already, or if I have people who have already tested them out. Like I have a really neat one in my office that's got a clitoris stimulus, but then it has two hooks that come around the side, not hooks. They're plastic, kind of like picture, like a horseshoe kind of thing. Right. That goes around the shaft.
Okay.
So whenever he inserts in, he gets the vibrations while you're getting the clitoris stimulation.
Oh.
Now, obviously, I'm a lesbian, so I have not tried that one out because I don't particularly want to. I mean,
you should make that a shirt. You should be like, I'm a lesbian. Like,
no, right?
Catchphrase. Like, you should make that. I told you need to come out with merch. Like, you need to.
No. What do I come out with? Sex gym? I mean, it's not. I mean, I don't even know how to do that. So. I still am trying to figure out how to make it to where it doesn't flip back and forth on the screen. And that's why I'm trying to figure out another platform to use besides Zoom to record.
Okay.
Because it switches back and forth. And so like whenever you talk, you come on. Whenever I talk, I come on, and it's on view. It's not on, I mean, it's on the right gallery, but I don't know. So whenever it records it, for some reason it does speaker. And I haven't figured that out. So that's a journey for me to figure out, because now I'm excited about doing more of these, but I really want it to be like where both of us are there. And then somebody else, if they come in, and I went flipping around. But you figure out the sex gen part of it. And
I'll like come up with some ideas and I'll like show them to you if you want.
Yeah. And I'll buy it. Yes. Because I just don't have any creativity. I need to. Well, I mean, I have this, but that's about it. But as far as the toys and stuff, I think that to go back to the people who don't masturbate, lot of it comes. I do want to come back to this because I want to address it, because this is like, it's really sad to me. You know, like there is a lot of shame with it. And there's also, and then also because little girls get walked in on just like little boys do, but little boys, it's like, oh, you know, and you know, people are like, being a boy, always in the shower for 20 minutes, being a boy, you know, but if a girl gets walked on, what are you doing? You know, and it's I'm talking in generalization, you know, and it's a different kind of shame that gets associated with it, because guess what? Genitalia, whenever you touch them, feel good. It feels good. And so, you know, a lot of people have problems with that. So, and then also bringing themselves to a point of enjoyment to climax, that's another. They're like, am I supposed to do this? If it gets interrupted, do I finish? You know, and I think that you kind of hit it on the nail being single. I think that you get to explore yourself, and you're also old enough to not to put judgment on it. You know, you're like, no, I'm pandemic time. I'm figuring some stuff out, man. And which I think is smart. And no, so,
because I remember like growing up, I feel like there'd be like certain things that I would do. They'd be like, well, you know, that feels kind of nice, but I didn't know what that was, and nobody like really talked to me about it. So I just kept, that was never like taught, you know? So I was just like, well, what is that? Like, or I would do like certain thing or like sit a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that just feels good. But like, there was nobody mentioned that. I didn't know. I didn't want to like talk to my friends about it. Be like, well, do you do that too? Is that like weird? Until like later, I was like talking to somebody recently, and I was like mentioning that. I was like, when you were younger, like, would you like do certain things or like I was like, not like directly like hump something, but like where you like moving. So, and then they'd be like, yeah, we'll do that all the time. Like I was like, no, that makes sense. And yeah. I just didn't know people also did that until I like talked to that person.
Well, we sexualize it. Kids do, like, they feel just their body feeling good. Right. Yeah. We're the ones that sexualize it. Adults, you know, say, oh, don't do that. Or, oh, and then that's how the misconception gets, like, bodies do feel good. And so kids may do something and they'd be like, ooh, that feels good. And, you know, and just maybe teaching, you know, oh, it does feel good. Very cool. Well, at the dinner table, let's not make it feel good right now at the dinner table. But then it's like the shame's not associated. You know, instead of that shutting down, they get to experience that their bodies feel good, because like that parent didn't say, oh my God, you're being sexual. Like, don't do that. You know, they said, oh, that does feel good. Like, sometimes our bodies do feel good. And then they said, okay, but at the table, let's eat and we can talk about how your body felt good later, you know, and kind of normalize that our bodies feel good in lots of different ways. And it's okay for us to be empowered by that, you know, without it being a negative thing. And so, no, I think that that's awesome that like you did finally said, hey, did you do this whenever you were younger?
Yeah.
We as adults decide, oh my God, they're being sexual. They're not being sexual. It tingles.
They probably don't even know what it is, right? It's until you
don't know what it is. Unless there's an unhealthy exposure that has already happened. And then, of course, then you want to address, like if there's an unhealthy exposure or trauma that's happened, then of course you want to address and make sure that they feel secure in what they're understanding their body to do. But yeah, other than that, like kids are not being sexual. They're experiencing their body tingling. That's it. That's all. And it's so funny to have like people associate, it's not funny because it's actually a big deal, like with working with kids, you know, and undoing trauma and stuff, is that they don't understand that it's okay for their body to tingle or to feel good, or for them to, if they touch themselves or something like that, to not associate it immediately with that they're just horrible people who are trying to have sex whenever they're only this age, and you know, they need to immediately pray about it. And unless, you know, that family happens to immediately pray about stuff, and then that's fine. But overall, you need it to be attached to a positive conversation with an adult. Oh, how did that make your body feel? Like, have you ever had that happened before, and those kind of things. And just so that they can know, like, okay, maybe I don't make myself feel good at school or at, you know, at the dinner table and those kind of things, but like my body does feel good sometimes, and I'm not a bad person because of that.
Right. Yeah. So do you have any tips for masturbating?
Okay. So there are some fun toys out there. There really are. So it depends on what you like. I will say that clitoris stimulation is one of the most satisfying, you know, as far as for most women.
Yeah, myself included.
Okay. So I think that one of the things about that is whenever you do start very, very slow and it, like not even like on top of some clothing, like to almost tease yourself, just like you would want a lover to do.
Oh, okay.
You're your lover. So it's okay to tease and play. And I think that's like a neat way to introduce that foreplay with yourself, you know, and then it kind of continues to that. You want to make sure that pressure, I'll say it like this, please. Pressure and speed. And so try different pressures and speeds, but also play. Like, so if you do, some people don't ever like open up at all because they're so worried that they are doing that until the very end. And there's a lot of teasing that can happen with like air coming up, you know, and Yes. There's so much play that you can do. And it's so inviting for your body to know, like, wait a minute, I can have foreplay with myself. I don't have to have somebody else do that, you know? And like, those are some good ones to keep it clean, but not that we have to keep things clean, but I'm trying to think about some good ones without getting too descriptive on this first one and everybody going, what has happened to your body? I'm like, no, it is called sex gen. I mean, it is called that. I mean, like, it's okay. So, but anyway, I think that those are some fun ones. I think that vibrators are great. I think that trying out different size, if you use, you know, anything for penile, for penises. So if you have like a particular toy that you like, because it mocks that insertion, then I would get different sizes, because it's there again, playing. And so maybe if you like larger, then you start off with smaller to tease. Does that make sense?
If you like.
And if, you know, and we talked about this, I'm going to go ahead and say it, anal play. Okay. Oh my God. We talked about, you know, you were asking questions like, you know, what is, and we, you and I talked and we said, we're going to do something different on that one. We're going to have some fun with that one, but not we, you. I'm so creepy. I'm sorry. I creeped myself out on that one. But we're going to talk about it in a different podcast. But I did order some so that we could show, because there is a way to make sure that you have some fun anal play that's very safe, and that you can use the butt plugs in a way that maybe they get larger, or sometimes they're smaller whenever you're just doing tease time, you know, and some clients wear them different places, you know, and nobody else knows. And
if you want,
I would not. Okay. So no, you can't, I would not, because you can get chapped really fast. But if you have like somebody coming home and they're accustomed to, so like, that's why I say the sizes. And that's why I said, we'll talk about this kind of a full spectrum thing, but safety always comes first. And so you want to make sure that you prepare the body, you know, for that. And you have the right lubricants, and, you know, you can have fun with it. You can, there's some of them that you can actually have somebody else control, like the vibrations, just like vibrators. And so, you know, somebody else, if you decide that you're coming home and you have a play partner at home, like, they can start, you know, you can stop and put it in, and then they can start playing and teasing the foreplay, you know, while you're driving, because then it's not a whole lot of movement or anything, but it's a fun way to start. So there's some, you know, and you can also, so if you're just at home and you have a vibrator that does have like click on and click off, you can control with your phone, you know, then you can, if you decide, if penetration is something that really excites you, then you can put the vibrator inside and then have the phone where you just tap it sometimes. Foreplay with yourself.
Okay. You know what's funny? Like, well, not funny. I cannot play, like, I can, like, masturbate, you know, with my vagina all day long. Mm-hmm. I cannot find myself to, like, go play with my butt.
Like, that's a hard out for you, right?
My brain, but it's funny because, like, I'm having sex with somebody, like, currently. Mm-hmm. And they'll, like, stimulate, you know, like, he'll use his fingers, like, in my butt and stuff. And, like, that feels amazing. It's fine. Yep. So I like, leave that to him. But it's, like, when I, because I've been curious, too. I'm, like, oh, should I just, like, start playing with myself in that way? Do the same thing. But there's, like, there's a wall. We hit a wall.
Okay. Well, also, in knowing you, also, one of the things that, that we'll kind of touch more on, but making sure that you're very safe as far as cleanliness and everything else. So yes. Oh my gosh, there's so many nerve endings, and it can feel so good if you do decide to play, right?
Yeah.
With that. But you may, because knowing you, you may prefer to have a small toy or a small something that, and this might be something fun for you. You may choose to put like a small vibrator, not inserted, but just a little bit of pressure.
Oh, you'll have to send me some. Okay.
I think that might be something that you might enjoy, because then it's not like, as far as germs and everything like that, like, you're fun with, you know, not doing it yourself, but you can sit and have something have pressure against it while you stimulate. And then they also have a ton of different, you know, awesome toys. So yeah, whenever we do that, talk about that one, I'll bring some fun stuff, you know, for us to look at and talk about and stuff. So I'll do that one at the office, so that way.
Yes.
Yeah, because no way my wife is okay with anything like that being at the house. It's so funny. We're so different. Like, we're totally congruent in that. But so I literally like bought her a Prude and Proud shirt. Isn't that cute? She's so cute. Oh my God, she's so cute. I love her.
Did she wear it? Has she worn it?
She's never in it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, she's fine with that. She's like, I don't want to ever open anything. But that doesn't mean, okay, so there's a difference though. And to me, that's one of the things, like, people who are private and don't want to have open conversations about a ton of different stuff, like, it's okay. That's okay. Like, they don't have to talk about things, you know? And I think that that's fun, but it doesn't mean that what they bring to the bedroom is not fun. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
You know, maybe, and so some people who identify like, you know, like, she did that, but now her and I can have tons of different conversations, just us, and that's okay, because that's a monogamous relationship and we love open communication. Now, sometimes she'll tell me, step too far, Porter. And I'll say, no. Because I have played in my lifetime. And so, you know, it doesn't, I don't have that off switch that says, oh, you know, this is something that you don't want in a relationship. Because to me, like, I love people having fun and like, I love people exploring. And just because I may not do something, like, I so want others to get to enjoy stuff. And it doesn't mean that I'm not enjoying anything, because what I do, I enjoy, you know? And so that's what's important, is people just figuring out, like, what gets me going? Like, so maybe you like some soft, you know, exterior genital play, anal play, but not penetration. And so maybe, you know.
No, but I like it when.
He does it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, I would never thought to like do it myself, just like masturbating, you know?
You know what? Okay. But this is what I'm saying, because you can get a lot of enjoyment out of it. Those same nerve endings are there. That same stimulation is there, whether he does it or you do it.
I know.
And so it's there just waiting for you to enjoy if you want to, but you can start with, that's why I'm saying with this exterior, even just, but make sure it's a separate vibrator, because you don't want even anything that you might insert into the vagina later. Yeah, no. So make sure that it's a separate one. Like, those little rabbit ones might be fun. Just a little bitty rabbit one to kind of insert and just see if that would be like comfortable for you. And I'm not talking about insert, because you do have to have, okay, anything that you do, if you ever do play, and this is why I wanted this to be a whole thing. And see, now I'm like shooting off stuff and I'm like, wait a minute. I want you to understand this. Because also plugs have like a cap so that you don't end up in the ER. So asking for somebody to take something out. So don't be putting anything in that but you can't get out. Don't play like that. That ain't cool. So the plugs that I'm telling you about, the butt plugs, they have like caps so that you can have fun with it, but yet not, you know, it's all about play. It's all about play. And so it's important that people have a good time. So whenever he stimulates you, if that's what you're comfortable with, that's great. But just know that that excitement and that arousal is still there, even if he doesn't do it, if you do it. And so you might try just some on the exterior, you know, vibrations or touching. I'm going to tell you, if you don't even do any insertion with a finger at all, just touching, it's a lot of nerve. There's a lot going on back there.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to try that. I'm going to try that and report back.
There's some happy space back there. We ended up talking about this anyway.
Okay. Next topic. I do have a question that I've experienced this. So I cannot have sex in water. Like in the bathroom, like in the shower. So I've had sex in the shower, right? And it was fine. It feels fine. And then like minutes after, I will be in excruciating pain. I don't know if it's like water, like got in my vagina and it just feels weird. I don't know what it is.
Well, it sounds like you might like stop producing fluids, you know, at a certain, maybe water, having sex in a shower, you might try like having the shower running beside you, but not directly on you.
And I tried it like multiple times and it happened again, like, and the pain is like excruciating.
Oh, like, no. Like
my, I don't know, like in my abdomen, like lower, and I'm like, that's not, this is
well normal. Are you okay? So let me ask you a question. Whenever you have sex, are you standing up or are you, you know,
shower? Yeah, like standing up or like leaning, you know. Okay.
You know what, first of all, you should ask your gynecologist to make sure everything's okay. I always tell everybody this and they hate hearing it. They're like, no, I don't want to go to the doctor. Well, it's kind of your body and it should never hurt. You know, it does sometimes, but then there's usually a reason for it. But water is like water soluble, you know, lubricants are used all the time. And so it might, Do you have a lot of sex standing up in other places?
Yeah.
So it's not the position.
Or it maybe it was like pretty hard. So I don't know if this, the water did something or he like pushed it somewhere. And I was just like, holy shit.
Well, and also the pelvic floor. Okay. So whenever you do get excited, you know, your body responds and it kind of opens up, or if it's not, then it closes in. And so it could be that you start off very aroused and then whenever he enters, it's a little bit shift for you, you know, and maybe there's not enough lubricant there with what you and him have, you know?
So that just pushed me away. Like, or I'll like have sex like before the shower and I'm like, no, not directly in the water.
Yep. That's smart. And, you know, but I definitely would ask your gynecologist, and also I'll look it up. I know that I've had that question before. I can't remember exactly kind of the research that I found for that particular couple, but I'll look it up and share it with you, because to me, it seems like, I think, okay, well, water-based lubricant. So you should be able to, you know, keep the lubrication going. But if whenever he enters, you feel uncomfortable, you know, and you kind of clench up, you know, basically, then that could cause the pain. but I don't know why it would be after it. It seems like it would be during it. That's what's concerning me.
Or maybe it's been a while since I've like had sex like directly in the water. Or maybe I do remember, maybe it started, the pain started a little bit and I kind of just pushed through it to save the moment.
Okay. Girl, don't you be saving moments. Do not save moments. Sorry. Oh, take it to the bed. No. Don't. Yeah. Always call it whenever you start to hurt. That's it. That's a hard stop right there with partners. And if you're with partners who, you know, love and respect and care, you're going to get, you know, response. And then you can talk about it in the moment, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
But did it happen once or has it happened multiple times?
No, it happened multiple times.
With the like, same partner?
Yeah. In the shower. Yeah.
Okay. If it's okay. So, and these are like me digging around, you know, so if it happened multiple times and it's with the same partner, was the partner very endowed?
It was like medium.
Medium. Okay. So it wouldn't be something that would normally have caused pain for you.
No, because we had great sex, like,
okay,
besides that with him. Yeah.
Well, in some way, maybe I'm thinking, okay, so I'm either thinking the water, you know, it was too much water and
yeah,
played a part in that and drying out, you know, and there wasn't enough lubricant. And so.
Yeah, because I was like, you know, like leaned up against the tub and he was like behind me and the water was just like hitting us like straight.
Okay.
Yeah.
That might be what it is, but I'm still going to do some research and I'll come back with more information on that one. Cause I know I've written down notes and stuff like that after I've, you know, referred someone, but I think that shower play is so much fun, but there's some people that water, it just kind of, it seems sexy. Like you think it's sexy. And then it's like, okay, no, this is not like, I'm not aroused anymore for some reason. And so a lot of it is figuring out if it's that partner, if there was enough foreplay, you know, if the positioning was a little bit off for you and not comfortable. And so, excuse me, you started pushing through and when you actually should have maybe changed positions.
Okay. Yeah.
And so, I mean, I don't know, but those are some choices and like, that's why it's important, you know, to know kind of things that you like, and it is okay to explore, you know, it kind of goes full circle back to the, like you said, I feel like I haven't had my whole stage.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what it makes me think of. And I'm like, I like that you explore as an individual because I think that is so important. And I wish that more young adults would know more about their bodies and enjoy it, you know, and feel like they have a voice whenever they go into sex. I think that's awesome. I don't know that I associate like co-stage the same way that everybody else does. I think that you can definitely have fun playtime, but you would want to find somewhere that you know that you can connect with other people who are offering fun playtime, you know, that's safe. And so that might be something if you decide, you know, after, you know, when you're in a place of being single and stuff like that, you can decide like, okay, yeah, I think I'm going to play for a little bit and see what that looks like for me. And that's okay. You know, if you decide to do that, okay. So let me ask you a question. Whenever you say ho, do you associate a negative with it?
No.
Okay, like, good. It's fun. Okay.
Like to do that. Like I see friends. Okay.
Yeah. I wanted to make sure. Yeah. Because you know, like the same thing, that ethical slut, like some people have a lot of fun playing.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fun. And they're like, oh my God, I love this. I identify as a slut. This is awesome. I have, you know, some people really have a stigma about it. And so it's what you, and I just wanted to, before we hop off, I wanted to make sure that I had like come back to that question about that. Cause I'm like, yeah. So if you call it your host stage and you haven't decided if you've had that yet or if you want it, I think, you know, you're definitely going into it in a fun time because you've explored your body enough to know things that you like and you don't like, you know,
right.
I definitely don't have negative things about it. I just think that everybody needs to be comfortable, because some people aren't comfortable with having multiple partners, and that's totally okay. It's just, you have to decide what you want.
Okay. And like, when you do that, do you still, how do you, when you like do that understanding, how do you bring up the whole, like, do you have anything? Like, are you, your test results?
Good question. So one time, whenever you don't, and you do that one time where you don't say it, like, that will be the time that you wish that you had asked for it, you know? And so, like, if you do go on an app where you know that people communicate well and stuff,
yeah,
then you say, I actually would kind of like to play, you know, how are you on testing and those kind of things? Are you comfortable with me asking you about that? And then if they say no, and I'm not going to show you any test papers and blah, blah, blah. Great. That's a fun sexing person to play with or something like that. But it's not someone you want to be physical with, right?
Right.
Because another person who is also very excited about keeping their genitalia, you know, taken care of, is someone who's going to say, oh, wow, no, I go ahead and get tested usually before I start playtime with somebody new, you know, or I get tested every 3 months. And then you have to decide if you want to ask, okay, well, so if you have partners in between, you know, and then they might say, no, I wear condoms. And then, you know, if I have one partner that's like, we're in a relationship and we may have other play partners, like I wear with play partners, but maybe, you know, my nesting partner, I don't. Like that, you know, those kind of conversations are really healthy, and it's okay to ask. And if there's anybody that you come across, because I'm telling you, I was so scared whenever I was younger to ask anybody, and it's not worth, you know, anything.
It's not worth it or anything.
Yeah. It's just not worth it. Yeah. And so, so anyway, I think that it's worth asking the question. And so I guess that's my 2 cents on that. And I think that different conversations can be brought up different ways, but I definitely, before I met anyone in person, you know, off of the apps that you knew you wanted to have sex with, you know, I would definitely make sure that they were someone who was comfortable with, like, when was the last time you were tested? Have you had any partners since then? You know, and of course we all know everybody can lie, but if you have a test result, you know, then it's a little bit better. And I think there's actually an app, I'm not positive, and I'll look this up, but someone told me that there was an app that you can, like, for like people who test and just, like, go ahead and, you know, I'm someone who tests, you know, and stuff like that. And whenever you link up, like, oh, okay. You know, it's kind of digital, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm old, and you got to remember I've been in a monogamous relationship for a while.
You're not
old. Isn't it weird seeing me with makeup and my hair done and not naked?
Well, honestly, I'm used to it now because of COVID, and like everybody, that's like the normal thing now. Everybody masks. I don't know.
It's not a bad thing. I don't think it's a bad thing that people wear masks. I'm excited to see your face. And to know you have a mouth. Yeah. How's your, like, you're not just like talking like this, you know, and I, that sounded weird, didn't it? Okay. So, and also, like, how are your teeth?
Oh, they're good. It was just,
there isn't any swelling. Okay.
I have to do it one more time, but I'm pushing that off now.
Now that you've experienced it. Well, that's funny. Okay. So I'm going to make you come on and talk with me again. Does that sound fair?
Yeah. This was fun. I hope people like it.
I'm sure that they will. You have great questions, and I appreciate you being so honest and, you know, just like sharing and communicating and, you know, having it be kind of a conversation. And we legitimately did not come into this knowing exactly what we were going to talk about.
Right. And I don't know. I just feel like we click, and you get me. Like, you just get me.
I think we do. I think you get me too.
Get in another life or something.
Oh, we should go and get like a reading done and see.
I'll have to tell you, I got a psychic reading. Did I tell you?
Oh my God. Okay. Okay. So we're going to get off of here unless you want it on like broadcast, but then you'll have to tell me.
Yeah, I have to tell you.
Okay. Well then I'm sorry for everybody else. I cannot even tell you how awesome this has been. And I hope that you enjoyed kind of this conversation with us. And if it generated any questions, we would absolutely love for you to share them with us, because those are things that we're going to kind of bring to the conversation and future podcasts and YouTube videos. Like, I'm excited to do that. I'm going to try to figure out a different program though, to do the visual on, but we are going to hop off, and thank you, Jocelyn, for being here. I
had a blast too. It was so much fun.
Well, for everybody else, you guys have a good evening, and I will talk to you on the next podcast. Thank you for joining Sex Gen.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I hope it provided some information for you. Please remember that this is not a therapy session, nor is it meant to provide therapy for anyone. Although I am a therapist, this is just generating a conversation and starting to understand the dynamics of sex and intimacy. If you have any questions or you feel like you're overwhelmed and need assistance, please make sure to reach out to your therapist, or if you have a life or death fear, please make sure to call 911. Thank you so much for joining us, and we see you next time on Sex Gen.